The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chanukah Sameach to both of you. Good, thank you. How are you guys doing? Well, all of you, not only both of you, but all of you. Hope you guys are doing well on this Chanukah morning.
Well, not really. We've had the devastating fire in Cape Town. Seven Torahs destroyed. The Morashah Shul burnt down. And yesterday, Howard Sexton, was it yesterday that the deal was signed, that this memorandum was signed?
Apparently so.
So yesterday, the ANC signed a memorandum of understanding with no other than Hamas about boycott of Israel and downgrade of embassies and all sorts of things. Hamas. Nobody else but Hamas. I'm not sure that it's a very wonderful Chanukah morning, but perhaps it is a time of miracles. Things can happen.
Well, it's always a time of miracles. Of course, we've been following the story from Arthur's Road in Sea Point as well quite closely. There were some quite conflicting reports about whether the Sifrei Torah were in fact saved or not.
They were not saved.
I hear you saying that they were not saved. I hear that there were some miraculous efforts on the part of the local firefighting department in order to try and do whatever they can. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is, I think, a very Jewish story. You know, things unfortunately get destroyed along the way, but I have no doubt that that community will stand up and pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and will be back as strong as they ever were before.
Absolutely right. All right, let's just talk about what's going on in Israel. Operation Northern Shield was launched yesterday on Israel's northern border, and that was to destroy the infrastructure built by Hezbollah. What activities has the IDF been undertaking in this operation, Anthony?
Well, obviously, the press reports have been relatively carefully coordinated. We've seen quite a lot of effort on the part of the IDF spokesman's office to really coordinate reports coming out. And inevitably with that, you always feel that there's quite a lot going on behind the scenes that they're obviously concealing. But what we do know is that a 600-foot tunnel has been discovered and destroyed. This was a tunnel that extended from within a home in the Lebanese village of Kfar Kila and came approximately 40 meters under the border of Israel, actually into Israeli territory. So the activities that the IDF have been undertaking yesterday are all within Israeli territories, just near to the Israeli town of Matula. The descriptions of the tunnel are quite astonishing. 6 foot wide and 6 foot tall and about 80 foot underground, having been dug through solid rock under the Israeli border in order to give access for terrorists to come into Israel quite easily. Apparently, the construction of this tunnel is estimated to have been going on for at least 2 years in order to get it into the state. Some reports have suggested that it has its own generator in order to provide 24-hour electricity, and it has communication cables and electricity cables running along the length of the tunnel in order to provide communication and electricity. So, I mean, this is an astonishing piece of engineering that runs into Israel and, of course, gives a lot of cause for concern for those residents in the north who've suddenly realized that they've been living for the last few years right above a tunnel that could potentially have given access for Hezbollah terrorists to get to them relatively easily. And it kind of ties back to a story that we spoke about a few years ago, two, 3 years ago even now, where residents of northern Israel were complaining to the IDF that they heard noises, that they were hearing these sounds under the ground, and they were very concerned about tunnels being dug. And this was around the time that all the tunnels were being discovered in Gaza. And so obviously the story was a relatively hot story because of what was going on in the south. And they were concerned that the same was going on in the north. And at the time, the IDF said that they had checked things out and they found no evidence of these tunnels. And of course, those statements are now being brought into question with the discovery of this particular tunnel. And we suspect that others will be discovered as well in due course. It's not quite clear whether the IDF has the intention of actually crossing over the border into Lebanon or whether they're staying on the Israeli side of the border, at least for now. The activities are being limited to the Israeli side of the border. Of course, lots of statements about transgressions of UN Resolution 1701, which called for evacuation, essentially, of that southern Lebanon area from Hezbollah fighters, that weapons should not be kept there. And, of course, we know that Hezbollah have transgressed that without any real regard. That is of no surprise to anybody. But, you know, bearing in mind that not only these tunnels have been discovered, and by the way, there was a great piece of footage which shows an IDF camera that was put into one of these tunnels and shows two Hezbollah terrorists actually approaching towards where the camera is, and then all of a sudden the camera self-destructs. It's got some sort of an explosive device that's been attached to the camera so that the camera itself can't be taken by the enemies and potentially bring to them the information that the Israeli side have been able to see. So at some point the camera is exploded by remote control, and we see these two guys get quite a shock and escape from it, and that's the end of that, because the camera obviously destroys. Yes. Or is destroyed by this explosive device. But the point is that there is clearly a lot of activity that's been going on the northern border. It's estimated that Hezbollah have something like 120,000 to 150,000 missiles which are pointed in Israel's direction or can quite easily be deployed in order to be fired towards Israel. We spoke yesterday about the fact that there are a number of factories that are upgrading these missiles in order to make them precision-guided missiles using GPS technology and other types of technologies in order to allow them to be able to be fired and to hit their targets a lot more easily and a lot more accurately than has been the case in the past during conflicts with Hezbollah. So clearly, this operation wasn't just planned yesterday. This is an operation that's been planned already for some time. It seems to link in as well to the sudden meeting that was held between Prime Minister Netanyahu and U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, where the Prime Minister's office said that the Prime Minister went to talk about trying to limit Hezbollah activities in southern Lebanon. So all of these seem to tie together now as the IDF has launched this operation. We have no idea how long it's going to take. The IDF spokesman saying it will take as long as it takes. It's going to be interesting to see how far the IDF is prepared to go in territory terms, whether they're prepared to go into Lebanon or not, or whether they'll maintain activities just on the Israeli side of the border. And in addition to that, of course, there is an expectation, or at least half an expectation, that Hezbollah might at some point choose to respond to all of this that's going on. So at the moment, things remain very quiet on the border. The IDF continues its operation uninterrupted, but anything could happen, and I think that Israel needs to be ready for that anything that could happen.
Anthony, can you just put this into a little bit more perspective as far as the Israeli political scene is concerned? Because we had some talk 2 weeks ago when Naftali Bennett wanted a position. He was then he was denied that position. He was going to resign. Lieberman resigned. But the coalition was held together. Our sense at the time was because there was something else brewing and something else going on. Maybe this was the issue. And then, of course, we have the issue, the added complication, and I've seen it mentioned quite a bit on social media, that Netanyahu there was recommendations that criminal charges be laid against him for bribery, or certainly for him and his wife, etc. Then this evolved, and of course the skeptic saying, or the cynic saying, well, that's what happens, you divert attention because of a war situation. Now Netanyahu couldn't have manufactured these tunnels, but can you just give a bit of a sense as to the political landscape that surrounds this whole event?
I mean, let's start by saying that there's no doubt that Prime Minister Netanyahu will use this to whichever extent possible in order to protect himself. It's an opportunity that he will not miss. And of course, yesterday he was talking about a plan for terrorists to infiltrate into Israel and occupy parts of the Galilee. So, you know, that's a fairly kind of serious statement and very frightening to some people. But you're right. I mean, this is an operation that has clearly been planned already for some weeks, maybe even some months. There was some reference to it, although very indirect reference to it, during the time of the recent Gaza sudden uptick in the escalation of activities and conflict with Gaza. There was a lot of criticism of the ceasefire that was suddenly declared. And of course, we then saw the resignation of Defense Minister Lieberman. We are now told that at that meeting, the cabinet meeting, where the ceasefire was discussed, apparently this Operation Northern Shield was also discussed at the same meeting. And so when Prime Minister Netanyahu referred to other things that are going on that I can't talk about, it seems as if this is what he was referring to, that this particular operation was already well planned at that stage and in the process of just getting approval in order to be carried out. And so clearly it complicated the decision whether to accept a ceasefire on the Gaza border or not. And it seems as though it may well have been very, very influential. And one wonders, therefore, why Defense Minister Lieberman decided in his wisdom at that moment to resign from his position when he was obviously familiar with what was being planned on this operation, Northern Shield. And apparently, you know, he was even given some credit for the fact that he was very closely involved in planning a lot of it, along with the IDF Chief of General Staff and, of course, other members of the IDF, other senior officers who've been involved in putting the plans together. So it certainly has been something that's been in the offing for some time, and clearly has influenced decision-making in other things. Whether this is what ultimately has influenced the decision not to indict the Prime Minister, at least for now, is a difficult call to make. It may well have been a very influencing factor. And as I said the other day, even though some of the listeners didn't quite like my interpretation of why I felt the Prime Minister wasn't being indicted, but, you know, I respect that view, but I still remain quite firmly convinced that it's probably not the right time at the moment to indict the Prime Minister. And when you see the things that we can see, and you consider that behind the scenes, there are probably 100-fold things that we can't see that need to be taken into consideration, then, you know, we clearly need a firm hand on the wheel at this time. And, you know, this whole operation on the northern border could quite easily become very complicated if there is some sort of a response from Hezbollah. We don't necessarily expect that they will respond directly and fire missiles over the northern border. We know that Hezbollah's style is not necessarily like that. They could suddenly decide to carry out an attack in Argentina or wherever, as they have been known to do, or to try and target an Israeli embassy in some far-flung corner of the world, which is also something that they've been known to do before. So, you know, Israel has to be extremely vigilant at this time. But I think it's absolutely right to do whatever is possible in order to try to destroy the infrastructure that's been built up, which clearly enables Hezbollah a much easier opportunity to attack Israel. And that's clearly something that we can't tolerate.
And that's unfortunately where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always for an in-depth and very, very interesting understanding and update on the situation in Israel and, in fact, specifically in the north with regard to Hezbollah. It's about to go 8 o'clock.